Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to People's Rights. And I would like to introduce today our wonderful speaker. We have Meg Martinez here with us from Gays Against Groomers, and she's going to be talking about how to protect our children from what I regard as predators. So, Meg, come on up to the mic and talk to us today. Thank you.
Hi. So first of all, thank you so much to People's Rights of California for having me here to speak on our mission and speak on Gays Against Groomers' mission. It is something that I hold very near and dear to my heart as a SA survivor and somebody who knows grooming from a firsthand experience. Again, thank you so much for the wonderful introduction. My name is Meg Martinez. I am the Director of Outreach for Gays Against Groomers. But more importantly, I'm an advocate for responsible and age-appropriate education, which is something that is not happening in California today. I'm here to inform you of some things that you may or may not be aware that is happening within the schooling system. I ask that you listen with an open heart. Let me tell you a little bit about myself first. I'm a 41-year-old married lesbian. I've been in my relationship with my second wife for 7.5 years. I fought for gay rights twice, once in 2008, with Prop 8 here in California, and then I fought again in 2015 when it came to the federal legislation. So when we all won 2015, we were ready to pack it up and go home, but here we are again having to fight again, only to save our good name and to save the children of the United States, because right now there is a war going on with them. I am a California native. I grew up in Ventura. I've lived in different cities all over the coast. I have worked with and met many different types of people from all backgrounds, religious, and belief. I understand not all people agree with my sexuality, but it's literally the least important thing you'll ever know about me, honestly. But the one thing that I'm looking for is that we can look beyond sexuality and look at what is the most important thing, and that is protecting children from this indoctrination, sexualization, and medicalization within our schooling system and outside of that. You don't have to like me for being married to a woman, but I can still work together with every single person with our common goals. I promise my sexuality is not contagious. I really promise that. But the Gays Against Groomers mission is very contagious, and I'm pretty sure anybody who's listening right now can understand that. We all don't have to agree on everything. That's what America's about. It's about the freedom of expression. It's about the freedom of thought, the freedom of speech. That is what America is about. And the one thing that I know that we all can agree on is saving children from the overexposure of sexual topics and, like I said, the indoctrination, medicalization, and sexualization of children. I'd like to read you the Gays Against Groomers mission statement. Gays Against Groomers is a 501c4 nonprofit organization of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transsexual individuals within the community who oppose the recent trend of indoctrinating, sexualizing, and medicalizing children in the guise of the LGBTQIA+XYZ. We honestly, in the organization, don't even know what the acronym is anymore because it has gone so far beyond that we are lost too. So don't feel sad if you're lost on that, because we are too. We don't have big donors. We are entirely grassroots funded, regardless of what the left wants to believe. A Heritage Foundation does not sponsor us. That's why, you know, I do most of my podcasts from my backyard with a box on top of a coffee table. So, but we're also growing exponentially over the last year. We've only been a nonprofit for a year, almost. But we've been in an organization since June 6th of 2022. I'm sorry, I forgot what year it was. And then in that, we now have over half of the United States represented by different individuals who are within the LGBT community who want to help protect parent rights. We want to help protect these children, and we want to make sure that our good name and our good grace that we have built upon is in steadfast standing, because right now we are seeing such a large decline within the acceptance of the LGBT community that it is just, it's disgraceful. And so we are here to stand with the parents and let you know we are not about this. We are not about indoctrinating children. We're about letting them have their innocence and preserve that. Our community that once preached love and acceptance has been hijacked by these radical activists who are now pushing extreme concepts into society, specifically targeting children in the recent years. While some of you may firmly hold a belief that someone like me is responsible for the slippery slope we're most certainly on, I can assure you that our movement is nothing like it was. And people like me are just trying to live a normal life. On my second marriage, obviously you should know that I live a normal life within normal society. We've never wanted to talk about children, about sex. Unlike some of these radicals today, the ideals they're pushing align more closely with an organization the gay community has been denouncing since their inception, which is NAMBLA. If you don't know what NAMBLA is, it is the North American Man-Boy Love Association. Not only do these admitted pedophiles still exist, but their website has been updated every single month. They're not with us, and they never were. So I really want to distinguish that fact that we in Gays Against Groomers do not agree with anything happening with children. If you're a consenting adult, that is totally fine. We cannot control what the government says. You were 18 and you are now an official adult. Anything below that, no. Just please no. The overwhelming majority of people are against what the so-called community has transformed into. We do not accept the political movement pushing their agenda in our name. The gay community is not a monolith. Those pushing this agenda do not represent or speak for all of us, nor do we want to be associated with them in any way. What we are witnessing is a mass-scale child abuse grooming being forced on the entire generation, which I can almost guarantee that everybody listening right now, either online or here in person, can agree with. Children are being indoctrinated from kindergarten all the way up through the time that they're 18 and beyond. It is happening. We all need to be awake to that, and we all need to understand that it is here, and we are trying to fight against it with you. It's going to take all of those from us within the community to finally put an end to this insanity. And that's exactly what we're doing. Gays Against Groomers directly opposes the sexualization, indoctrination of children. This includes drag queen story hours. This includes the transitioning and medicalization of minors. Sorry, a little tongue-tied today. And the gender theory being taught in the classroom. These are all things happening right now in the state of California and the entire United States, and especially here in California, bills like Assembly Bill 655. Families are being torn apart as the government tries to justify letting minors make major decisions without parental consent. Not only is the family unit under attack, but the hearts and minds and souls of children are under direct attack through this disposition. So the one thing I do want to say is that us here in California, we have been standing by parents' sides. We have actually helped build and create, you know, legal representation for people like Adam Vina, who had his son basically transitioned at the age of 2 by his mother. 2 years old. Yes, 2 years old. The child is now 5 years old, and they're still in family court trying to figure it out. We finally were able to get him legal representation to help him. And we are willing to help find legal representation for anyone, whether it is a father or a mother, because it is happening on the father's side, transitioning their child as well. Find help, because that is what this is about. A two-year-old does not know their gender. They don't. They know that pink is pretty and ponies are fun, and that's literally it. You know, I might like Transformers as a girl, but what does that matter? It doesn't matter anything. So we are here to help all of these parents be able to figure out and navigate the court system, as well as helping them advocate within the schooling system and the state jurisdiction. We're seeing explicit books being provided in school libraries for young children as of 8. Like, this book is gay. It literally contains graphic instructions I don't really want to go into. We're seeing books that tell children men can be pregnant. We're seeing teachers cross-dressing and telling kindergartners that they don't have to be a boy or a girl. We're seeing kids being taught how to get puberty blockers and hormones without their parents knowing, which is something here in California I really want all parents to really listen to. Planned Parenthood now has wellness centers on every single campus, almost. So I'm from Long Beach. And in Long Beach alone, there's 22 different schools ranging from K through 8, as well as high schools, that have these wellness centers. You go in there, you have a consultation, they refer you off campus to a clinic, and you can get on puberty blockers at the age of 12 without your parents' consent, without your parents' knowledge, with your medical autonomy fully intact. So this is the things that we're fighting, and it is happening across the entire United States right now. I don't think that the parents really understand how deep this goes, where us with Engaging Against Groomers, we have done extensive research. We have done extensive backing up, looking into, reading lab reports, doing everything that we possibly can to find the information to relay it back to the parents, because we want all these parents to wake up. And because of these extremists, the hatred for the LGBT community is not only relevant again, but on the rise. On the most basic level, I can understand why. This new movement has weaponized against anyone asking questions by censoring, dismissing, and labeling them homophobic, bigot, or a lot of people are fed up. It's kind of funny to us in Gays Against Groomers because we are labeled homophobic and transphobic when we're literally a group filled with gays and trans people. So it's kind of hilarious to us at some point where you just kind of have to let it roll off your back. But the thing that we do have that most parents don't is that we are part of the LGBT. We are part of this community. And you can't shut us up and you can't sit there and tell us that we're homophobic or transphobic because we're a bunch of homos and trans people sitting here saying, stop doing this to kids. We're here to help the parents make sure that these kids have a safe and productive future, because 99% of all these kids that grow up that are considered to be trans just become gay individuals. And that's it. We're not about destroying our entire culture. We're not about destroying ourselves. We're here to help the parents and save the innocence of children and also protect our good name and standing within the community. These activists, backed by school boards, government, woke media, and corporations, have been speaking on our behalf for far too long. Propaganda in the mainstream media has been stroking hatred of our community for decades. When fighting for equality, our goal was to successfully integrate ourselves into normal society, which we had in 2015. Most of us packed up, went home, and just lived the normal, chaotic life that most married couples do. But now the radicals aim to restructure reality into accommodating a fringe minority as well as seeking to indoctrinate children into their ideology. This ideology is conflicting, manipulative, and tyrannical, and we're all saying no. And that's why Gays Against Groomers exists. There are millions of gays within the community that want nothing to do with this alphabet religion and would rather join the fight with the parents and concerned people everywhere to protect children. We also aim to return the sanity and reclaim the community we once called our own. Gays Against Groomers is doing that by standing up at school board meetings, city council meetings, peacefully protesting, managing council, or messaging council members and politicians regarding bills we oppose or support, and exposing the radical LGBTQ plus IA, WTF, I don't even know anymore, agenda in the school curriculums across the United States. Gays Against Groomers has assisted 20 states in the passing bills that ban child sex changes. We applaud states like Tennessee for passing bills that categorize drag performances as cabaret, which they actually are. If you've ever not been to a drag brunch or a drag show, please come down to Long Beach. I'll take you to Hamburger Mary's. And you can see exactly why we don't think it's appropriate for children. We support the teacher in Kansas who was suspended after refusing to use a student's preferred pronouns and was awarded also $95,000 in the lawsuit that followed because we support freedom of speech. So here in California, I do know that we've had two or three teachers suspended. One that was in the Glendale Unified and two within San Diego Unified that were suspended because they refused to keep a secret from a parent. And a couple of them are seeking legal restitution when it comes to that because they literally lost their job for not wanting to keep a secret from a parent for something as detrimental as your child transitioning. Within that, the radicals are literally trying to destroy everything that we do. They're trying to destroy the common parental rights. They're trying to destroy anything that has to do with a normal living life of a child, even if they are gay or trans. We ask schools to maintain the bathroom binary to keep biological boys out of girls' bathrooms and preserve safe spaces for girls and women alike. We demand explicit content, LGBTQ or not, be removed from schools entirely. And this is a hot button topic that I know a lot of leftists come at us with. We are not about erasing LGBTQ anything that has to represent us within the schooling system. What we're about is erasing anything that has to do with sexual content for minors who is not age appropriate. A third grader does not need to know how to get on the Grindr. Honestly, they do not know how to use... I was going to go into something else, but I'm really not going to do that because I want to stay sane because there are children over there. So what our whole mission is to keep everything on an age-appropriate level. Keep the indoctrination out of schooling systems. Keep these teachers from showing these books that are going to seriously probably mind and mentally take these kids into some place that they have maybe never even thought of. And really put it back into the hands of the parents. We really want the parents to help educate these children when it comes to that. Kids don't need to figure out their identities or change their pronouns. They need to learn math, history, biology, and all the core subjects that students across the nation are failing right now, which California has literally a 30% passing rate when it comes to core education within our entire state. They're only at a 30% proficiency, and that is the maximum of every single subject. But they are also distracted and overwhelmed with the content that is not only age inappropriate, but they are also being taught to disrespect their parents by keeping secrets about it all from the adults. They're meant to trust the first and foremost. There's a huge difference between teaching kindness and acceptance and pushing an agenda. Any representation of the LGBT community needs to be done thoughtfully with respect and regard to all parents and students. Educating students about the diversity of human relationships, about respect for all, about personal safety, these are all paramount. However, introducing the explicit and potentially confusing materials to children without proper context or guidance can be detrimental. Parents not only need to be aware of what's happening in their child's school curriculum, but they also should be allowed to opt out without receiving backlash, which in California, no parent is allowed to opt their child out of LGBTQ anything, education, any of that. You can opt them out of any other type of health education, but not this one. And to me, that is completely ridiculous. All it takes is one little piece of paper with a parent signing it saying that, okay, I'm okay with that. But the majority of the parents that I have talked to and the majority of the parents that I know, they just want that option. They just want these people to be able to say, I agree or I do not agree. And I don't understand how hard that is for the schooling system to understand. We cannot let this agenda control us with fear. We have to stand up and speak out more than ever. I'm with you, and Gays Against Groomers is with all of you. These radicals may not want to listen to you, but we have to listen to us. We can and must find a balanced path forward, ensuring children are safe, well-educated, and prepared for the future while respecting the diverse tapestry of beliefs that make up our great nation. Thank you guys so much for listening to me today. I want to appreciate every single person who came out or has watched. And I open up to comments if anybody has a question or anything that they want to ask.
Okay. Thank you, Meg, very much. So anybody that does have questions, please come up to this microphone here. And we'll start it off with Ira.
Hi, Meg. Thank you. So I'll make some very brief comments, maybe just 10, 15 seconds, and then I'm going to ask a one-word question because you didn't touch upon that question, and I may answer it now. First, it was Scott Wiener, whatever his name is. He's probably the one that's pushing all these bills. He's a psycho. And why do rental car companies don't rent to you till you're 25? So here's the question. With all these things going on in the schools, it's probably follow the money. So my question is, why?
Good question. And I understand that one word question. It is not a one word answer, unfortunately. A lot of it has to do with my personal beliefs, which I can talk about later. But right now, what it comes down to is it is a financial gain for a lot of the pharmaceutical companies, which the pharmaceutical companies actually sponsor the federal government, which the federal government actually sponsored the schooling system. And the schooling system has to follow what the federal government lays out, or else they're not going to get monetary compensation. So that is literally the path that I have seen and I have followed and have researched. I also agree, if a child or anybody under the age of 25 can't rent a car, how can they change their gender when they're 12? So I wholeheartedly agree with you on that. But yeah, I don't understand it. None of us really understand it. And we're trying to figure it out and change that legislation, which thank God we've been able to do that in 20 states. And we're looking for all 50.
Excellent. Thank you. Meg, you spoke a little bit about how the powers that be or whoever is behind this are attempting to divide and conquer the gay and lesbian community. So can you speak more about that? And do you think there is something bigger at work here with this divide and conquer agenda? And the reason I ask that is because according to The Atlantic magazine, we are racists and misogynists and evil people. And I just wanted to dispel that, like you're trying to dispel this with us today. But could you comment on the agenda itself? And do you feel there's something bigger and more sinister behind that divide and conquer?
I do. And a lot of this may be my own personal opinion, while all of it is some of it that Gays Against Groomers actually we have discussed and we actually agree upon, is that there is a divide and conquer situation going on. And I hate to say it, a lot of it has to come from the straight community. So right now we have something called Transhausen by proxy. Well, if you think of Munchausen by proxy, it is basically a mother that is using their child to gain attention and recognition. And so we see that happening a lot with these kids, where nowadays, you know, making your kid sick isn't enough. So you're going to make your kid trans, and then all of a sudden you're going to be able to have all of this recognition and all of this attention that you may have never had, right? Well, that to me is one of the biggest things that's happening. The other thing that is happening that I can definitely talk about, maybe on my own personal experience, not necessarily on Gays Against Groomers' behalf, is that I believe that the divide and conquer, it may not have happened in the course of the riots that happened in the Loving 2020 that happened. Well, they have to go to the next step, and they may have to expand on that. Well, what's the next thing that you're going to do as a hot-button topic? LGBTQ. And so within this topic, it clearly divides those of us who are, for lack of a better term, sane and normal human beings who just want to live our life and, like, protect kids and just, you know, go about our daily existence. Where then these other people who really, they cry on TikTok because they couldn't get a pronoun right because they work at Starbucks or they have to work for 8 hours a day and they don't understand it. Like, I don't understand where that disconnect came from. I really don't. But I do see that distinguished divide of people who understand social construct and people who want to dismantle it. And a lot of it has torn our community in half, where also I have been noticing that there is a clear distinction between people who call themselves queer, which most of us who are gay do not use that term. It is a hateful term to us. A lot of us had that coming at the other end of a fist to our face. So we don't like to use that term. Some people may, some people might within our organization. But I'm seeing a lot of these people who consider themselves queer are actually straight, trying to belong. And so this is where I think the divide is really happening. And again, that is my own personal opinion. That is my own personal opinion on a lot of that. But on behalf of Gays Against Groomers, I do know that we are seeing a huge amount of these parents or people seeking attention that want to divide the community because they need that attention or acknowledgement for some reason. So.
I think you've outlined the problem pretty well. You clarified that it is a distinct group of people that are going against the time against mind convention of the way people are born and raised. Mm-hmm. So the only question becomes not so much why, is that what's the plan to stop it?
Our plan to stop it is to bring awareness. So what we've done in Gays Against Groomers is to plan and be able to bring awareness to everything that's happening, expose everything that's happening, try to attempt to stop it, and rally the troops, which is basically all of the parents and all of the people who actually care about child safety and the welfare of human beings, to actually stand up, fight together, and do what is right for our community, not just for what they think is right for social community.
Well, again, you're outlining the process, but what's the tangible, actual plan to go against them directly? We can talk about it, and we can theorize about it, and we can write about it, and we can explain it all day long, but we got to get in the face, and how are we going to do that?
Get into your school boards. That's first and foremost. If you want to save kids, get into your school boards. I can't even tell you how many school boards I've gone and spoke to this year alone. Get into your legislature. There are many other organizations like Freedom Angels that go to Sacramento on a regular basis fighting for what is right to save the kids. And the number one thing that we need to do is protect the next generation of kids that are going to be here to actually run our country. So protecting kids is first and foremost the one thing that we have to do. And if that comes from going to school boards, which unbeknownst to them, which they don't want to admit, they have the power to override the California school policy on any of them. That's why we've seen that in Chino and we've seen that in Temecula. They overrode that school policy and gave the right to consent and the right to knowledge to parents. They are now seeking a lawsuit from Gavin Newsom, which is ridiculous. But so get out. Talk to people. Go to these board meetings. Go and speak up. Go speak your mind. Look for these other groups that are advocating for the same thing that we believe in. Make sure that your voice isn't sitting at home behind a keyboard. The more faces that they see, the more opposition that they see, the more likely we are to get things to change. And that's how we can actually activate and get this country back in order where we need it to be.
There's that old saying that local action has national impact, and it really does begin at the local level in school boards.
Yeah, look at Glendale.
Yeah,
Glendale got nationwide, even international, because of all the parents who rallied together. The Armenian community is one of the most loving communities that I've ever known in my entire life. They accept me and my wife and Gays Against Groomers in wholeheartedly, like we're family. They protect us. They talk to us. They do not want violence at all. But they got nationwide news coverage because somebody decided to attack them. So that just goes to show you that it can only take a small community of people to stand up and say, we are not for this anymore, and we're not going to stand for it, to actually change something that is happening within a city or a state or the nation.
So we have a question on Instagram Live. Why do so many schools think it's appropriate to allow books like This Book Is Gay to be accessible by our kids?
They believe that, well, number one, I believe that every single person that is not free thinking thinks that if you are to sit there and say, I'm not going to allow this book, even though it is LGBT forward, that you are you are a transphobe, a homophobe, you're all these phobes. But really, when it comes down to it, you really have to look at the content in there. I'm not okay for any book. I don't care if it's LGBT or heterosexual or whatever, that is depicting graphic images of sex to children in middle and elementary school. And so the fact that people are so scared to stand up and say this book is inappropriate for children is completely baffling to me. That is where we have a really hard stance on that, and it's really difficult to get these school boards to understand you are not being homophobic or transphobic by banning books that have depiction of porn. That's why parents do it. That's why you see parents across the nation who go up and speak at school board meetings and sit there and show images or read paragraphs from these books. And they say, oh, well, we're not going to allow that because it's too graphic. Well, okay, so it's okay for your fourth grader to read that, but it's not okay for me to read it to a school board? Well, maybe take that into context.
You know, I noticed something particularly disturbing about, and you're probably familiar with it. Megan Fox claims that all three of her children are now trans, and they're all young kids. And I just think that there is something clearly going on in her mind that has nothing to do with the kids. And I think there's a real, that's a really dangerous situation because, number one, she's a celebrity. She has a voice. And I was wondering if you could just speak to that. What are the odds that all three of her kids just happen to be trans?
Every single statistic and every lab report, every single diagnostic that I've ever read, trans people are 0.03% of the population. So the fact that you would be graced within your appearance of having three trans kids is about a billion to one chance. To me, that goes back to trans housing by proxy. It's you become irrelevant, and so now you're trying to seek relevancy. And so, you know, if you claim your child is trans and you're a celebrity, all of a sudden you're back in the spotlight, which goes back to trans housing by proxy. It has nothing to do with your children. It has everything to do with that parent.
Thanks very much for coming to speak to our group. My question is, do you think there's a Marxist agenda behind this?
That can be a hot button topic, which, again, I'm going to speak on my own personal experience, not on behalf of my organization, but on my own personal experience, is that it possibly can be. I mean, if we look at the way the secession of our country has been within since, say, 2019, there is a secession of things that happen to collide with, you know, either erasure or eradication or sterilization. And to me, that can be something that we can loop into. But again, my own personal opinion, it can be. But I'm also not going to say definitively because I do not have a definitive answer to that. And I will never say something to you definitively without proof.
Hi. Thanks for speaking. Off of what the last speaker said about the Marxist agenda, well, one is the destroying of the family unit. And also, James Lindsay, have you heard of him?
Mm-hmm.
Points is that Marxism, the spiritual aspect of it, comes from Gnosticism, where we're all souls trapped in a material body, and our goal is to overcome the material world, which was created by a evil god, and the serpent in the Garden of Eden, he was the true benefactor of mankind. He's the liberator of humanity. And if you look at Marxism from a societal aspect, it's you know, communism. We got to abolish everything, government, society, rules, culture, everything, in order to recreate and create a community that you know, just shares everything. So it's a material form of that spiritual belief. And then if you look at the connection with trans movement, it's a individual aspect of that bigger picture, which is, instead of society, now it's your soul is trapped in this material being, right? So whether you're a female, male, whatever, you know, if you identify as a woman in a man's body, then that's, you got to transcend your material body, and vice versa. And also, you know, if you identify as a dog, you know, you got to transcend your human body. You know, so it's an individual version of Gnosticism, where Marxism is a societal, political aspect of Gnosticism. So I think there is a connection there.
There can definitely be a connection. Being somebody who knows plenty and are really, really, really good friends with transsexual individuals, I really want everybody to know the distinction between transsexual and transgender. So transsexual are generally the people that have actually gone through the diagnostics and they've actually met the DSM-5 for having gender dysphoria, whereas transgender are usually, it's just a feeling that they go with. Transsexuals are even against what is happening right now because they don't believe that that type of mental disorder should be glorified. And this is exactly what I hear from all of them that I know and I love dearly in my heart. They also do not believe in the indoctrination of the children. There is a correlation between the transgender and the Marxism, as you were saying. So the transgender within the Marxism really requires them to sit there and you have to agree with their narrative or you are damned. And that's it. You are going to be dismantled if you do not agree with me. You do not use the right pronoun, which if you walk like a duck and you look like a duck, you're a duck. So, I mean, you can't control every single person's freedom of speech. You can't control their thoughts. You can't control what they are to say, and you can't control what they see to be true, which is the one reason why we got in the Glendale Unified and really started working with those parents, was because of the young daughter who has a mental disability. She had mental damage, and she was chastised because her special education instructor, who would go with her throughout her day to make sure that she could learn, went from female to male over the summer, but did not transition anything else and still looked like a female. And when she called her Mrs., she got chastised, removed from school, bullied to the point of going almost to a mental breakdown. And that's why we got involved with Glendale. And to me, that is exactly what's going on within the transgender community, where they're forcing an entire nation of people to fall in line with their ideology, where most of us who are in the LGBT who are sane, I don't care if you agree with my sexuality. Like, I literally don't care. That's the least interesting thing about me that you could possibly think of, where these people, that is the front and foremost that they're thinking about. So I agree with the Marxist part, and I also agree with what your statement was, and I hope that it really explains the kind of the question that you had.
I just had one thing to say real quick. You guys, I'm a veteran. I'm a military veteran.
Thank you for your service, by the way.
Thank you. And, you know, I've been overseas. I was in the Iraq War, Operation Iraqi Freedom. And, you know, I still can't even get my GI benefits. I can't even get my – I've been discriminated against. I've had all kinds of stuff happen towards me. And I don't really see the equality anymore in the society. I feel like everybody's kind of being divided over stuff. And I really do believe that there are – like a group of people or elitists that are trying to do something. I don't know if it's Marxism or whatever, but I believe that they're all trying to make us feel like we're the same. We're all the same, but they don't treat us the same here, you know? So that's all I had to say.
Yeah, I agree with you. Thank you so much for your service. Like, I understand. And I really want to say happy Veterans Day, even though it's a day late, to all the veterans that may be watching or listening. You guys are literally our heart, blood, and soul of this country. You put your lives on the line or have given your life for our freedoms and our freedom to be in this park right now talking. So I appreciate every single veteran that is in this world or beyond.
Hello again.
Hi.
Hi. So you brought up a good point when you were speaking. It's 0.03% are with the transgender, and there's a high school somewhere, I don't remember where it was, they have 1,700 students, and 17 of them are transgender. So they're blowing up the whole school. You've got bathrooms, everything for 1%. So do you feel that the transgender, all these other things, are more the vehicle than what they're really focusing on? It's the vehicle to do all these other things that you're fighting against, that we're fighting against as well.
Well, I'm going to preface this first part is mine and a few others that I've spoken with, were our personal opinion, is that when the indoctrination of CRT became a thing, if you look at the amount and the rates and statistics of those who are transgendering or claiming that they are transgender, it has gone up 4,500% by young white females, mostly. The other demographic is about 1,000 to 1,300 of young white males. Why is it a majority of white young children? Well, when CRT happened and they really started pushing that within the schools, all of a sudden we saw a jump in transgender, because what's going to happen? You're going to want to get away from being the oppressor to being the oppressed, because it's going to mean that, you know, you're not going to be harassed. You're not going to be bullied anymore. And that is some of our opinions, not all of our opinions within the organization. But the fact and the trend specifically within the UK that filtered over to the United States has shown that since CRT was indoctrinated and really pushed forth within the schooling system, that the transition boom has happened.
Hi, I would just like to make a suggestion for all of us to consider. And that is that there are some very diabolically intelligent people that are behind a lot of this divide and conquer strategy, and they know what they're doing. And in this particular case, when we're talking about grooming children, they are literally messing with the primal forces of nature. When you tamper with someone's children, you are really pushing a hot button. And I don't think that's an accident. And I think it fits in with some of the earlier comments about Marxism, that maybe there is some kind of a Marxist agenda behind this. And I would just like to point out that one of their tenets is that they talk about a long march, a long process, starting in with the young people in the schools. And then they slowly infiltrate organizations and school boards and government and so on and so forth. And this is how communist takeovers happen, is they look at it on a long-term scale. So where does this, what's happening to children being groomed, where does this fit into that in your perspective?
There is one person, I hate quoting this, but the quote is, those who control the children control the world. I mean, that's probably not verbatim. I don't remember exactly. My wife says it all the time. But yes, it was a Hitler quote, but it is true. Those who control the children will control the world. Those who can gain the minds and the attention and the focus of the children, they're our next generation. They're going to be the ones that control everything. So if they control them and they control their thought, then they can control the world in a generation. So to me, that's kind of where it's coming from, in my personal opinion, again. But just coming from a married lesbian, don't come after my nephew, because then we're going to have a world of trouble. So, I mean, even us within Gays Against Groomers, we have our nieces, we have our nephews, we have everybody else, and we will protect them to the ends of the earth, because they, to us, are our sons. I unfortunately can't have children, even though I wanted to, and I have taken my son-in-law in as my own. And
Pause for a second. We got to change the battery. We'll be right back.
We're changing a battery.
No, Travis, it has to be now.
I know, huh? We're on IG Live, but it's okay. I'll just look pretty. I'll just over here being pretty. But I do have to say, these questions are amazing. Thank you guys so much for the very in-depth
I do have a
questions.
Two-part question for you from a Instagram.
Two-part?
Live.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
You could thank your wife for that, by the way.
Oh, I'm sure. Okay, 30 seconds back. So 30 seconds back, I believe, if I haven't lost my train of thought, was all of us within Gays Against Groomers, we have a young child that's in our life of some sort. I have my nephew. He is my nephew-in-law, and I love him more dearly than anything in this entire world. I was not able to have children, but I was blessed with him in my life. And I've known him since he was 5. He's now 14, and it makes me cry when his voice deepens. But a lot of us within Gays Against Groomers have that prominent child figure in our lives that we just really want to protect. And so that's a lot of our drive to do this. So I just really want parents out there to know that we're not doing it for selfish reasons. We're doing it to protect all children, because we most likely have a very special child in our life that we want to protect as well. And what does my wife have to say?
So we have a two-part question from your wife. What are the side effects of puberty blockers? And then the second question, are they safe and reversible?
Thank you, Ben. So puberty blockers are not safe at all. And she knows that I am a lab report nerd. So I will read anything and everything that has to do with any type of scientific data. Puberty blockers are not safe. What they do is they cause issues within your body. So generally, puberty blockers are given between the age of 9 and 12. When puberty blockers happen, your entire body stops producing. It stops growing. It stops your heart, your lungs, your entire internal organs. Your brain can either have swelling or shrinkage. And your bone systems are not going to fuse together properly. So puberty blockers actually prevent you from going into a human as an adult that is able to sustain a body. That's why we're seeing within 20-year-olds and 21-year-olds who took puberty blockers are having osteoporosis at the age of 19, 20. We're seeing people with heart failure. We're seeing kids who cannot take a full breath. We're seeing kids who are not completely mentally developed because your brain does not stop developing until you're at least 25 years old. It is a very scary, scary thing to do to prevent puberty. And I know, number one, the one thing that people are going to say is that, well, they give it to people with precocious puberty. It is on a fraction of the amount of milligrams that they give those precocious puberty children. And they only give it to them for 6 months versus 3 or 4 years. They're not reversible. They will never be reversible. You cannot reverse the fact that you did not allow your body to grow. Was there another question? Because I don't remember. Oh, cover that. Thanks, babe.
Thank you for coming out. My question is in regards to the flag, the pride flag, and what your stance is on its being publicly waved.
Okay, so I actually just went to Irvine Unified School District with Sam, and we talked upon that. Sam is going to be one of our new California chapter leaders as well as Palace. And so my whole stance on that is that there should be no flag inside of any type of government publicly funded building that is not the United States or the state flag. The only reason why is because it can show biases. And the progressive pride flag is not what it used to be. The pride flag used to represent only a fraction of things, and it was to give homage to our gay elders who gave us the pathway in order to exist. This progressive pride flag, I don't even know how it became. Honestly, it's just ugly. But I don't believe that any of them, because honestly, I'm just going to kind of like paraphrase what I said in my speech in Irvine, was that if we're going to allow the pride flag to be in classrooms, are we going to allow the Jewish flag? What about a crucifix? Is Jesus allowed in the classroom? Because I thought there was a distinction between, you know, religion and the government. I thought there was that whole distinction. But if you allow the pride flag in there, we have already been able to determine that pride is an ideology and ideology is a religion. So if religion is not allowed to be in there when it comes to Catholic, Christian, Jewish, or any other Muslim religion, how is the pride flag allowed to be in the school system?
Good afternoon. Just a question. So my question is, I don't know if your organization or your personal feeling, with everything that's now taking place, does the organization or do you believe that what we're seeing is a satanically or demonically inspired, what's happening is satanically and demonically inspired?
That I honestly could not give an opinion on either way. It really comes from the source that you ask it from. I honestly do not believe that us having LGBT like freedoms and representatives is a bad thing. Like, I'm not, our whole organization is not about destroying ourselves. We're here, we're gay, we're trans, and we just want the same respect that everybody else has. And we understand that these radical woke queerios, as we like to call them, are destroying that for us. So some people may say that, you know, being gay or trans is satanic, but it's not. Trust me, my wife and I are both Catholic, and I know plenty of very religious people within our organization of multiple denominations. I don't know, honestly, where it came from, except for if it filtered down from the government. And whatever you guys can determine that the government is, that's that's where it's going to come from. But honestly, I can't really say yes or no on that.
Hi again.
Hi.
A two-parter, which is unrelated to each other. When you or the organization goes up to the school boards and you bring up these things that you just mentioned, do they respond or they just sit there silently? And other one, kind of related to schools, with the transgender sports, and that your thoughts there as well.
Okay. Good two-parter. First and foremost, I know that all school boards are not allowed to respond while you're having open public comment. They're to sit there and to listen. It is the policy that they are not allowed to actually respond to you in that frame of time. So they can comment before, they can comment after, but they cannot comment during. Like the one that Sammy and I just went to in Irvine, they made a comment after all of the public comments were done saying that they're just going to follow California policy, which allows the pride flag XYZ. And while, honestly, we didn't get the reaction that we wanted to, and we had some opposition. Honestly, it's probably one of the calmest school boards that I've ever been to with opposition. The message got out there because those speeches were posted, which activates more people to understand the message that we're trying to give. So school boards, generally, you will not hear a response from them in a favorable at the time, but they might hold a vote later on based on the type of comments and how many people actually protest against what they don't believe is right or what they do believe is right. So school boards are hit and miss. The trans within the bathrooms and within the school sports, to me, women fought for their rights for so long that to have it infiltrated, it doesn't matter what it is. You were born as what you were. You have the DNA as what you were. Women have fought for so long to have our own spaces, and knowing firsthand that having anybody infiltrate those spaces that are specifically meant for women is very detrimental from young to old. And so, you know, a lot of these women have PTSD that I've talked to when it comes to men in their spaces. And to me, if you want to have that separate space, okay, cool. You can have that separate space, make a third bathroom. And where I understand that it's not necessarily able to happen in every place, at least make a distinguish within your own self. How do I appear? And what are my intentions? Because there are people like, and I hate to use her as an example, but there's people like Blair White. If you guys don't know who she is, she's a very prominent trans woman who is on, you know, YouTube and everywhere else. If I saw her walking in my bathroom, I really wouldn't care, because everything that she has done makes her appear as a woman, and I know her intentions. But at the same time, there's also those who want to take advantage of that system, and we have seen it time and time again online where people are posting these disgusting videos where they're going into the women's restroom specifically to make girls and women feel uncomfortable. And that is where this problem is happening. We didn't have this problem 10 years ago. We have this problem now because people have this like higher horse type mentality. So, but when it comes to schools and sports, there is no way a woman can compete with a man in most sports because they're built differently. Their DNA builds their bone structure or their body, everything differently. So there does need to be a separation within that.
So Meg, can you tell us how people that want to get involved with this cause and with your group can do that?
Definitely. Thank you so much for that question. So as I said in my speech, we are a grassroots organization. We are not funded by all of these crazy wealthy organizations that everybody claims we are. We're literally grassroots. Trust me, I've been in this since the beginning. If you want to go to gaysagainstgroomers.com, you can definitely find all of our information there. You can find a state representative that are close to you. We have and are growing our state representation every single day. We have multiple members that are more than willing to come and help everybody out. If you could donate, that would be amazing because, you know, you donating helped me get here today to be able to speak to you. It helps us be able to spread awareness and do our advocation. It helps us get to, you know, state legislature. It helps us get to school board meetings and everything else so we can fight with the parents in order to protect the kids. And we have an amazing merch store. if you guys want to have some Gays Against Groomers swag, it's amazing. But yeah, if you just check out our website, gaysagainstgroomers.com, you will find different ways that you can help us and also find different events or opportunities that are around you, as well as our blog on the radar, where we have a bunch of our exposés and we've really deep dived into the legislature. So if anybody has any other questions, it's most likely on radar.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone else have any questions before we conclude here? If you do, please come on up and ask your question. Go ahead.
Just real fast, you mentioned in the beginning you had a podcast. Is that listed on the website also?
We are working on developing our podcast. It has gone into like the backside of everything because we've blown up so quickly and we've been trying to do everything at every time. A lot of us are constantly doing like speaking engagements, like even Jamie and everybody else, we're constantly everywhere at every time. But we are now having a person solely focusing on getting the podcast up and going. We do have one expose right now on our webs, on our YouTube, that has Alex, our Washington chapter leader, actually exposing one of the schooling systems. So we are working on that and it is coming. Stay tuned. It's going to be here soon.
What's the name of the YouTube channel?
I believe it's just Gays Against Groomers. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Pretty sure it hasn't been banned yet on YouTube, so I think we still have Gays Against Groomers.
Well, look forward to that banning, because we just got our first strike against my video channel, so I'm very proud of that.
Means you're doing something right.
That YouTube has given us a strike. We also had the Atlantic Magazine come out and call us, here in this group, the Uber of militias. So we're the Uber of militias, apparently, according to
once you get called a Nazi author. Terrorist alt-right hate group,
yeah,
then, you know.
Then we're doing the right thing.
Then you're doing something right.
You're only getting flack when you're over the target. But, Meg, I'd like to thank you for coming and speaking with People's Rights today. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay, folks, so we're going to open it up. We have an open mic period at the end of all our meetings, and you are free to come up to the mic and talk about issues, events, whatever you'd like to talk about, and come on up to either microphone, and let's hear what you got to say.
Hey everybody! How's everyone doing today? Well, I really just came here because I consider myself a truther, and you know, I'm a freedom fighter, and I'm against oppression and discrimination, and I try. I mean, I'm everything. I guess racism a little bit, whatever. But it's just that I'm in a situation where I just had a kid, my son, and my son was kidnapped from the mother. And I don't know where they're at. I've never even seen my kid, not one time. Yeah. So, I'm doing this for father's rights. I believe that fathers should know where their kid is at. And it's a whole story behind that. But, I just don't feel the equality. I think it's because of the woke culture here. You know, they have us all kind of divided against each other. And, you know, it's just...
Okay.
You know, that's all I have to say, guys. So that's what I'm looking, for help.
Why were you denied your benefits? Why are you being denied your
benefits? Are you talking about for the military? Well, I did like 4 years. I was in the Operation Iraqi Freedom. I was in the Navy. And it was because of the end of my duty. They said that I wasn't obeying orders and stuff, and... You know, it's a little bit more information behind that. They didn't give me my full benefits, and I feel like I should deserve my at least my VA healthcare benefits, because, you know, there's other veterans that have been in for 3 or 4 months, and they're getting their full, 100% VA GI benefits. So I just don't think it's fair. You know what I mean? I did 4 years, and I was out there in hazard zone in Iraq in the time of war. In 2005, I went in like right after 9/11.
And I risked my life out there. You know what I mean? It was a, they gave me LTH. You know, so it's just a bunch of it's not it's a general discharge. You know, yeah. So it's just really messed up. And I could have gotten a medical discharge. I didn't. I was totally unaware of it because I injured myself, and it's on my medical records. You know, but they don't look at that. They just looked at because I had a little incident at the you know at the end of my discharge date, and they just gave me a general discharge, and they didn't give me any of my benefits. So that's what I'm fighting for right now. I'm trying to get my my benefits, but you know, I'm more concerned right now is finding my kid. You know, but anyways, thanks, guys. I don't.
So in response to that, you might want to write this down.
Yeah.
There is a documentary. It's all about men's rights. It's called The Red Pill.
Mm-hmm.
So look up The Red Pill documentary, and in that documentary you will find lots of resources for fathers' rights and men's rights.
Yeah, you know, and it's unfortunate. I didn't realize the court system here, I guess they kind of like, help the mothers out more, you know, and I see this like a gender war, you know what I mean? Like I think that they're trying to divide men and women against each other. They're trying to get us to fight all, you know, against each other out of race, out of rich and poor, out of every little thing, you know, sexual preferences, everything, you know, and it's just it doesn't get anywhere. It just we're just going to continue to keep doing the same thing and just fall into their plans. You know what I mean? So that's all I had to say, guys. I mean, thank you, guys.
I agree with you 100%. I just want to also make a couple of quick announcements. My name is Bonnie Wallace. I am running for Congress in this district against Judy Chu. Judy Chu votes to have trans women, you know, play sports against regular women. And trans women who are really men go into the bathroom. She doesn't have a problem with any of that. So So I wanted to mention that. I'm also the president of the Greater Pasadena Republican Assembly, and we're going to have a meeting Monday, the 27th, in South Pasadena. I will be speaking and giving this kind of a little bit of a story like I did last week, and thank you all for coming and videotaping it. And we're also going to have a prepper. We're going to be prepping for the holidays. So if anybody's interested in that and getting some information on how to maybe get yourself ready and get some Christmas gifts or holiday gifts, ham radios, things like that that you might need in case the big thing happens, you're welcome to come. Thank you. Oh, well, I'm getting a request to do my poem. It's about a 7-minute poem, but did you want to say something?
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment today. So my name is Palace Levitt. I'm the...
Hold on.
Oh, you're recording. So my name is Palace Levitt. I'm the incoming chapter leader for Gays Against Groomers. And this is probably one of my very first events as like leadership for our organization in California and meeting with the community here. And one of the things that struck me about being here and hearing the conversation with Meg and then everybody else here that was taking questions was the importance of us coming together, even if it's just small batches of us having these kind of conversations. I think these conversations are incredibly crucial. I think that it was also mentioned at some point today that they really are trying to divide us. It is completely obvious to everybody with common sense. And I think the more that we do these little picnics, these little get-togethers, we're going to have a consensus of, hey, we're all in the same boat here, and there's more of us than there are of them out there. So we can do something about this. And it really does begin at the local level, because as I said earlier, local action really does have national impact, and it really does begin in these conversations. So thank you so much for having us today. I'm so glad to hear likewise, all the conversations that were taking place. It's a really, truly significant time in history of this country. Is what are we going to do going forward, and what can we do to band together to make sure that the people's rights remain with the people? So thank you so much.
Thank you. So I have been an activist for a long time. I've seen groups grow and fall away. I started off my activism at We Are Change Los Angeles. We created an organization that was a juggernaut. I mean a juggernaut. We interrupted the live broadcast of the Real Time with Bill Maher show. And that was all about 9/11 Truth, by the way. So we were 9/11 Truth activists way back then. But what I've learned is that the divide and conquer strategy is used against groups like ours. And it's very simple. All you need to do is highlight the differences with people, the minor differences of opinion, and focus on those, and you start to divide the group. Like I could divide this group right now just by saying my opinions about the Israeli-Palestinian issue. So if I come down on either side of that issue, I'm not going to say which side of that I'm on, but if I came down on either side of that issue, that would be a perfect wedge to drive this group apart. So if we want to, we can break our groups apart just by arguing with each other about things that maybe aren't very important. And that's what the strategists at the top do with perfection. They've been practicing this for decades, probably more than decades, probably centuries. They have been using this divide and conquer strategy. And it's very simple to use, and that's how they do it. Like, they just focus on small differences and try to keep bringing those up. So you'll have people come up in the middle of your group and start trying to insert a wedge issue. Here's a wedge issue. Here's a wedge issue. And maybe you'll have multiple people come up and try to do that. So as leaders of a group, I would recommend that what you do is just be hyper aware that there are people intentionally trying to disrupt your groups. We've had FBI come to our groups. Yeah. We've had FBI come and try to break up people's rights. Yeah, yeah. So this is what they do. If you want to look up some information about it, you can look up a program called COINTELPRO. If you look up COINTELPRO, a lot of the information has been declassified. And this is how counterintelligence is run. And believe me, they are running counterintelligence against us, our group, your group, all these groups. They're running counterintelligence operations, especially online. Especially online. For example, there is a video of a protest that was taking place in Canada. So there was some protesters protesting the way the Canadian government and this big corporation were mining. They had a big mining operation going on Native Canadian lands, so on Indian lands. So these protesters were out, and they had their signs and so forth, and they had their bullhorns, and they had their message. And then all of a sudden, several people appeared, all dressed in black, wearing masks, all dressed similarly, and they started picking up rocks. And they picked up rocks, and then the organizers of the event did something very intelligent, which you might want to take a lesson from. So the organizers of the event took all their people and separated themselves from those individuals. They stepped back, they turned on their cameras, and they highlighted what they were doing. They said, "Hey, why are you picking up rocks? What are you planning to do? You're not with our group." And they pointed them out, and they highlighted them, and they said, "Hey, you're not with us. We don't promote violence." And so the police that were there made a big show of arresting these agitators, And during the arrest, the whole thing was filmed, and it turned out that these five guys that were all dressed up like basically terrorists, they turned out to all be wearing the same police-issued boots. They were cops. So the police themselves sent in people to act like they were part of that group and to throw rocks at their fellow policemen and then give the police the excuse to crack down on the protesting group. So if they had succeeded, they would have mingled among the protesters. They would have thrown a couple rocks at their policemen, and then the police would have had their excuse to come in and beat the hell out of everybody else.
Adam, isn't that January 6th?
Yeah. Yeah, January 6th is another example. Look, there's a declassified document, which you can go look up yourself. It's called Operation Northwoods. Operation Northwoods was a Joint Chiefs of Staff plan back in the 60s when they were trying to oust Castro from Cuba. Operation Northwoods had multiple plans to turn American public opinion against Castro and in favor of an invasion. And one of their plans was that they wanted to blow up an airliner near Cuba full of students. They wanted to blow up an airliner full of students near Cuba and then blame it on Castro to turn American public opinion against Cuba and in favor of an invasion. So that's written in Operation Northwoods, to blow up a plane filled with our own citizen students.
They call it false flags.
Yeah.
But it's not really false.
So false flags are my specialty.
Oh, okay.
I've been a 9/11 truther for going on 20 years now. And 9/11 was a false flag. So it was orchestrated by various high-level people in our own government. They attacked us. They attacked themselves to galvanize public opinion to invade Iraq. So that was the false flag that got us into Desert Storm. So if you go back to Vietnam,
that wasn't Desert Storm.
Well, I'm sorry, you're right. Desert Storm was previous. That was the justification to go into Afghanistan. 9/11 was the justification for that. And they also tried to blame Saddam Hussein for that as well. But anyway, if you go back to Vietnam, there was the Gulf of Tonkin incident. Did you know, did anybody know, that the North Vietnamese did not actually attack our ship in the Gulf of Tonkin? It was completely fabricated. And the whole Vietnam War was based on that fabrication. Completely fabricated. Spanish-American War. The sinking of the Lusitania. It was blown up from the inside. They found that out. They've sent divers down. They've investigated. They found out the Lusitania was sunk by us to get us into the war. So this is their technique. They lie and they deceive. And they are actively trying to ruin and destroy groups like this. Okay, just like this.
And our whole country.
Right, and their whole country. I mean, who else but a traitor would do something like 9/11? Who else would do that? So think about this. Think about the state of our country when all incoming presidents since 9/11, not one of them that I know of, has come out in public and said, hey, Those towers were blown up with explosives. We have the proof. There's plenty of proof that the towers were blown up with explosives.
Yeah, and Building 7 wasn't, you know, is also
right.
Obvious.
It was a controlled demolition. So, but the point is, the presidents, when they come into office, it's their duty to protect the country, right? It's their duty to prevent things like that from happening. But why is it that the president and all the Congress critters and all the people in high office, why won't they tell the truth that those towers were blown up with explosives? The reason is because they are the ones behind it. We've got to wake up. Our own government is at war with us. With us. They're trying to take us down. They did those things. Okay, it goes way back. The false flag operations go way back into history, into antiquity. All a false flag is you attack yourself and you make it appear that your desired enemy did it. It's real simple. Right.
Yeah. Grabbing the crushing of that.
I think it's all about power.
To not only sustain, but further the division of rich poor.
Yeah.
The extremism that you would find in, like,
right.
It's always Nicaragua or something.
It's always
yeah.
Thesis, anti-thesis.
Yeah. Problem, reaction, solution is the methodology. And I don't think they care whether this is a communist country or a constitutional republic. Well, they don't want it to be a constitutional republic because then they can't be in charge and they can't rule over everyone like oligarchs. But I don't think they care about the particular flavor of government or whatever. As long as they have the power and they control everything, that's what they really are after. Yeah.
Wouldn't you get wealthier if you were a non-communist country? Wouldn't you be wealthier?
It's about like power.
Yeah, the money is just a means to power. And they have basically got all the money. They already have it. BlackRock, if you don't know this, they have multi-trillions in assets. They have more than most countries in the world. One corporation has more money than many, many countries combined. Okay, so they've concentrated all the wealth up to the banking class. And those are the people that are behind all these false flags and so forth. Okay. The Weimar Republic, yeah. 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 Well, they did this in the Great Depression. So what the big banks did to create the Great Depression was they stopped lending money to people. They had all the banks stop lending money to people. So all these businesses and people started to go into distress, and they started losing their businesses and so forth. So then the big banks come in when your company is failing and nobody has any money to buy it or loan you to keep it afloat. So the only thing left for you to do is to sell your company at pennies on the dollar to guess who? To the banks that created the crisis in the first place. So they come in and they buy up all the assets at pennies on the dollar, and then they start loaning money again after they've accumulated as much as they can. Then they start loaning money again and bring the economy back up, except now they own like 100% more than they did before the Depression. So now they're doing that on a global scale. They're trying to do that on a global scale. And if you look, BlackRock owns Pfizer, Moderna. Okay, Pfizer is the biggest pharmaceutical company in the world. They own ExxonMobil, the biggest oil company in the world. They own Time Warner Broadcasting, which is the biggest media company in the world. And on and on and on. So they literally own much of the world's wealth is focused up to BlackRock and Vanguard. So they've got the money. They've got it all. They've got it. So now they don't care what the value of money is, just because they will always be the only ones that have it. So when they destroy the economy, everybody's business fails. They start losing their homes. They come in, buy up all the homes, buy up all the businesses at pennies on the dollar. Then they pump money back into the system, and now they own more of everything. So that's how they do it. Yeah, it's disgusting. But hey, anybody else that would like to come up? And Bonnie, I think you had a poem you wanted to read. Is that, are we right about that? Sure. Yeah. Everybody, this is a...
Do you all want to hear my tall tale? I mean, you've heard it.
Come on over, folks. Okay. You're going to hear a great bit of poetry. So come on over.
Okay, I'm going to say this really fast. Come on over and you can hear my tall tale, because this is a tall tale of what might be 50 years in the future. The year is 2073. Things are quite different. America has changed. Concepts, understanding, history, all rearranged. Humans became hackable. They were monitored under the skin. All sorts of data was taken, and it was branded a win-win. Circuitry, wires, nanotechnology. We became the vessel. They ran the methodology. They tracked our every move and knew where we've been, what we did, who we saw, and the money we spent. Then they tracked our brainwaves and decoded our thoughts and could tell if we were thinking right or not. And then humans changed and merged with AI. Have you heard of singularity, cyborgs, and hive minds? For those in on this scheme, it's been a dream come true. Transhuman reality is no longer taboo. How did they do it? It wasn't so hard. People believed them and let down their guard. Smart graphene oxide was implanted in them. Many complied, but there was some mayhem, and people were monitored 24/7, whether they knew it or not. Very few questioned. The Internet of Things got connected to people. And now we don't have to move, and they call us sheeple, and everything's fine. The news says we're better. No one is crying. It's better than ever because we are monitored from the inside out. When we are hot, fans turn on and turn off when we're not. We speak our commands and sometimes just think them, and miraculously, lights turn on, food gets cooked, and music starts to hum. And when we are sick, they sound an alarm, and deployed are the medicines already stuck in our arm. They activate on demand from someplace remote. The payload is delivered, the right antidote. And do you remember the $6 million man? I'm dating myself. Look him up if you can. It was a show on TV, as well as the Bionic Woman. I would watch them both and thought they were good ones. These people were made of bionic parts. They could see really far and hear things really soft. They were faster and stronger. Their powers were super. They were supernatural beings and part computer. They had skills and features humans could only dream of. But in 2073, it became a common appearance. Humans were cloned with incredible features, and now we're nearly invincible. but less sensitive creatures. And the best thing of all, in 2073, is the programming that succeeded in making us be like-minded in so many ways. Everyone agrees we're on the same page. We don't look alike in structure or feature, but we believe the same thing. We all have the same teacher. There's no disagreement on any one topic, and if there's conflict, it's microscopic. Everything is fine. Nothing's out of place. We humanoids move in sync and all with a straight face. Things changed in the world, happened all in lockstep. The whole world agreed, critical thinking in check, and little by little, humanity morphed. Some went easy, some by force. But in the end, we merged with AI, and this new race seems unified. Food arrives, no one is crabby. We were told we'd own nothing and still be happy, and so we are. This humanish tribe, we're a well-oiled machine and share the same vibe. Much more so than the original race of humans who once roamed this place. With their emotional baggage and needing of resources, they disagreed and fought and had many discourses. But they were humans, not machines, which makes it messy and not so clean. And they also brought life and soul to the place, a diversity of ideas and a spiritual embrace of the arts, music, nature, and rhyme. Their imagination was inspired from the divine. They sang, laughed, and danced and were of the sublime. Something is missing during this time. And do these original humans still exist with their messy emotions and many trysts? Yes, there are a few who live in the mountains. They live off the grid, maybe a few thousand, who escaped the cities and would not comply with the demands their government passed by. And like Bigfoot, they don't want to be seen. They live a simple life and stay away from machines. They trade and barter and live off the land. They move back in time but stood up to commands, and the one new world order has left them behind. But they didn't want to be intertwined with machines and bots and mind control plans. They wanted their sovereignty and to have their own land. But if they are seen, they will not last long. No one wants anyone who can't get along with the programmed agenda that is so omnipresent. So they stay out of sight, but they will not be acquiescent. So, friends, where would you like to be 50 years from now in 2073? In the city with cyborgs connected by Bluetooth? Or up in the mountains pursuing your own truth? The decision is not so easy to make, and I'm sure some will say, Bonnie, this is in fact, this is fake. So the question's completely 100% rhetorical. How you answer matters not here in the physical. This is a tall tale of what might be if we're not careful in 2023. It could read like a cautionary tale. I'll let you decide which one prevails. Maybe I'm crazy and seeing too much, or maybe we've lost some of our human touch. Thank you. That's my tall tale. Let's not you lose our human touch. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for clapping. Thank you for coming to People's Rights. I'll just wrap it up here and they'll close the video. And thank you to all who's listening at home, and hope to see you again. Mm-hmm.